I recently took my second Expeditions Silver Cloud to Antarctica this year, and I wanted to talk about my experience. So we flew to Santiago, Chile, and Silver Sea met us on arrival and took us to the Hotel Mandarin Oriental, which is currently being updated. It's not truly a Mandarin yet. They call the hotel Hotel Santiago by Mandarin Oriental. So hopefully within the next year, it will have the true Mandarin staff and service. But it's a beautiful property. It's in a central location, easy to from the airport for the cruise passengers. Silver Sea's program is really interesting. So the Silver Cloud came out back in 1994, and this ship got quite old, and they redid it. They took it to Malta and took it out of service and put it into dry dock, and they added this huge ice hull, knocked out a few of the cabins, made bigger spacious ones, and turned it into an expedition ship, which is like a hybrid. So it's a classic ship that was turned into an expedition ship, and it's very unique. And what I like about it is this particular ship, what makes this different is there's 18 Zodiacs on board. There is a nice lounge for photography with all the latest Mac and Apple, everything you could think of with instructions and classes, which is just absolutely wonderful. And in that photo lounge, the gentlemen or the people that run the studio there, they have all these workshops. So I was able to book private photography lessons in my own Zodiac for 90 minutes with an instructor by myself out in Nikko Harbor, shooting whales and icebergs and penguins. And oh my God, it was absolutely wonderful. This ship also has beautiful suites. So where most expedition vessels are very small, which is now changing, there's new expedition vessels being built every day, but traditionally they've always been not very big or not very luxurious. This keeps the traditional Silver Sea experience there. A nice seating area, you know, verandas, his and her sinks, a walk-in closet, things like that. They also come with butler service, and most people don't know what to do with butler, but it's not truly like an English butler just waiting just for you to. The butlers take care of, I think, 6 or 8 rooms throughout the week, but it makes it really nice. Silver Sea is all-inclusive, so they have nice house wines, cocktails, you know, all of your soft drinks, your gratuities. It's all inclusive. So there's no out of pocket. But I will give you a tip. If you like very upscale wines, like, you know, Bordeaux, different specialty wines, you'll find them cheaper on board Silver Sea than you will at your local wine shop or restaurant. So it's a nice place to maybe go for the big stuff and try it and see if you like it before you come back home. I also like the ship because it has a lot of choices for dining. So you have the main restaurant, which is wonderful. And this ship used to carry 296 guests, which now it only carries 254 guests. But when you travel to Antarctica, the law states you can't go with more than 200 passengers to go ashore. So even though it carries 254, the max on board is 200, and they have to keep the same staff for the entire season. So the service is out of sight, and there's always availability to get into the restaurant. So nothing's ever booked. They also have a grill outside, which is kind of fun, where you can cook your own interactive. They give you like a hot volcanic rock. It's pretty traditional on board Silver Seas ships. And you can cook your own and sit outside. So it's kind of fun in Antarctica where sometimes the weather could be crazy. Sometimes it's warm. You never know. So you might have your parka on or not. It's nice. La Terraza is also another restaurant that we like. And it's casual in the morning for breakfast and lunch. And then the evening they turn into a beautiful Italian restaurant. And then finally they have La Dame, which is a French restaurant. You want to go just maybe once. It's very, very nice. Beautiful wines and gorgeous French cuisine. It's just a big treat to have that. So those things are, make it different on board versus going on just a regular traditional kind of expedition ship. And so having the choice and the luxuries is just different than what you'd find. But the ship is purpose-built now with the ice hull to have these itineraries that are great. On our trip, you know, they sail between the first part of December and the end of February down into the Antarctic Peninsula. And our weather couldn't have been better. I think the coldest day we had was 28 degrees and the warmest was 44 degrees. So for summer in Antarctica, I thought that was just wonderful. Some of the activities that we really loved were kayaking. That sounds a little overwhelming. The kayaking experience in Antarctica, they only do it when the weather's good. So if the winds are calm and so forth, out they go. And they can be canceled at any moment's notice if the weather does change. But the people that take you are well-trained, and there's a lot of classes on board, and they make sure that you're fit and ready before they send you out. And we never felt like we were going to tip over or, you know, anything like that. It was actually a wonderful experience. But you do need to have a previous ocean kayaking experience, or they will not let you go. And like a typical day on an Antarctic expedition, you would get in the Zodiac for a beautiful scenic ride in the morning, you know, zipping around, looking at penguins and sea lions and seals and birds and whales and the ice. And it's just so stunning. And then in the afternoon, you might make a landing ashore where you'll do a hike, you know, taking you looking at the rookeries for the penguins, things like that. It's pretty well regulated in all of Antarctica. So you can't just go wherever you want to go, but the guides that take you ashore are absolutely wonderful. But the scenery is amazing, and what you get to experience is just fun. So my experience this trip, we were on the January 19th Silver Cloud of 2020, and we saw so many whales, humpback whales, killer whales. We saw all the wildlife you could possibly see. We went to stations ashore, which was great. We were in Hope Bay. We went to Brown Station and Port Charcot and Peterman Island. And we did have one day where we were canceled because of the weather. It was the last day of our expedition in Whalers Bay. The wind picked up and it just became miserable. And the captain felt it wouldn't be safe to take the passengers ashore. Or if we got ashore, we might not get back because the waves just kind of picked up. So you have to know that this is an unpredictable kind of travel. And expedition travel, I think the fun of it is looking forward to the unexpected, because you just never know what's going to happen. So on this particular itinerary that we sailed, we left the southern city of Ushuaia. So we flew to Santiago. We spent the night at the Mandarin Oriental. The next day, we got a charter very early in the morning. Silver Sea charters an aircraft for all of their passengers on the ship. So it's very seamless. You land in Ushuaia, the southernmost city in Argentina. They take you for a beautiful local lunch and then transfer you to the ship where you'll get settled in, and off you go. Then you cross the famous Drake Passage. So before you get into the Drake Passage, though, you go all through the channels and fjords, and it's stunning and beautiful. And this time of year, it stays light really late. I mean, 11 o'clock at night, it feels like it's still light outside. It's so pretty. So the scenery is gorgeous just until you get into the Drake, where it's just big open seas. And having crossed the Drake many times now, I can tell you that some days when you cross the Drake, it could be like a lake and very calm. Other days you could have rough seas and be turbulent, violent, or it's just unpredictable. So having the right medicine or being prepared for seasickness is something that is important. I had a couple of hours of major discomfort one time on the Drake Passage that I was not pleased about, but it went away and it was worth the sacrifice to get down to the Antarctic Peninsula. So I was on board this sailing and I met with the expedition leader. His name is Brad. He and I got together, and I thought it would be great for our listeners to meet Brad and hear his story. And so I'm going to turn it over to Brad. We took this podcast, this recording, on our way back up from our trip to Antarctica before we got into the Beagle Channel on our way back to Ushuaia. So, Brad, welcome. I'm glad that we're taking some time with you.
Thanks, Ralph.
So give us a little bit about your background, and how did you get interested in doing this, and how long have you done this?
So, I grew up in South Australia, in a very small town on the coast, and I spent a lot of time in and around the ocean. So I knew from when I was about 13 years old that I wanted to become a marine biologist, and worked towards that right through my school years, and eventually went on to study marine biology at university, and I did two degrees. I did another degree in ecotourism, and after university I started off as a tour guide in northern Australia, taking bird watching tours and river cruises up there in the Northern Territory. And after a couple of years of doing that, I'd learnt about these expedition ships that used to cruise the northern coast of Australia. So I eventually moved on to working on those.
Is that out of Darwin?
Out of Darwin, yeah. Darwin to Broome, along the Kimberley coast mostly. And then from there started travelling to other parts of the world, including Indonesia, South Pacific, and then eventually down to Antarctica. And And my first trip to Antarctica was now almost 8 years ago.
Nice.
Yeah.
As an expedition leader, that's like a big title. What does that mean? What do you do?
So as an expedition leader, I manage a team on board. We currently have about 26 expedition staff in the team. And so managing the team, onboard activities, lectures, and other events held by the expedition staff, but also planning and implementing the shore programs. So as you know, the weather down here can be very changeable, and quite often we do need to change plans last minute, and we need to have a plan B and plan C, and quite often we are sort of making last minute changes. So it's a great role. It's always, we're always kept on our toes by the weather down here, but yeah, it's good fun.
Well, that's great. For someone who's never been on a trip down to Antarctica, why would you recommend coming here?
Simply for its remoteness and the pristine nature of the environment down here. As you know, there's not really any people living down in the regions that we travel to, and the wildlife, obviously, everyone wants to come and see the penguins. Usually we can see the three different species, the chinstraps, the gentoos, and the Adélie penguins. But yeah, it's like nowhere else on the planet. You've got huge glaciers, towering mountains, and the wildlife for sure is like nowhere else.
I love that. And so I have a really hard time describing what we do. So I like these podcasts because it's helpful instead of me having to write about it. So can you describe like the experience that we had this last 10 days and some of our highlights?
To be honest, I actually also struggle a little bit to describe it. And even pictures don't really do this place justice. You've really got to come and see it for yourself. But to try to describe it, again, what we've experienced has been a fairly standard trip. We have been very lucky with the weather, but generally we covered almost all of the stops that we had planned to. We had some incredible whale encounters this voyage. We had multiple pods of killer whales. We've had humpback whales breaching not far from the ship. But I think to be immersed in the penguin colonies and walking along the shoreside is really an experience of a lifetime that I highly recommend everyone should try to do if they have the opportunity.
So why would this be great for a multi-generational family?
We have a variety of activities on offer at every landing that we go to. Usually we'll offer a long hike if we can, depending on the landing site. But for those who are a bit more adventurous and want to stretch the legs, we'll offer a longer hike up the edge of a glacier or sort of halfway up a mountain within the time limits that we have, of course. But we also offer medium hikes for those who are a little less agile. And then we offer beach combing, interpretive walks, and also zodiac cruising as well. So there is something for everyone. And we try to always have that variety to cater for everyone's needs and abilities.
That's great. So changing subjects a little bit, how would you balance tourism and sustainability, and why is that important here?
It's one of the most important aspects for us for traveling down here. A lot of our expedition staff are scientists and incredibly passionate about the environment. And there's no better way to be educated than to come down here, experience it for yourself. We've got many, many lectures and presentations that the expedition staff will give to create awareness around travel to Antarctica and also traveling around the world in general with a sense of ecotourism. So it's there's a lot of things that we don't hear about in the mainstream media, such as the krill industry down here, which certainly is not probably being managed as well as it could be. But yeah, just generally coming down to experience it for yourself and to realize just how incredibly beautiful and fragile our planet is.
If you were going to give some advice to someone who wanted to come to Antarctica and they haven't made a commitment, what's something that you can tell them to do, or how can you get them interested to go ahead and come?
I'd have to say the Drake Passage is something that's always plays on people's minds, and when they think of Antarctica, they think of rough seas and, getting seasick. But I have to say the Drake Passage is not as bad as it sounds. Generally, coming down here, sometimes we have flat, calm conditions and it's like a lake sailing down or back up again. But to be honest, if we do have a bit rough weather and you get a little bit seasick, really it's for maybe a day and a half, and by that time we're down in amongst the Antarctic Peninsula in the shelter of the islands, and it's well worth that day or day and a half of maybe being in your bed, if it is rough, and experiencing the beauty of Antarctica, it's certainly well worth the reward.
Yeah. Maybe talk about this new Fly the Drake idea that Silver Sea's bringing on.
Yeah, it's an amazing concept, and we're really excited about it. Basically, it is obviously skipping the Drake Passage, and you have 6 solid days down here of activities, Zodiac cruising and landing. So it is more for those who have a little bit less time up their sleeve to travel, and also still have that fear of the Drake Passage and want to skip it. But it's going to be a phenomenal project, and we're really excited that we can offer it.
That's great. Brad, we've had a great trip, and I really appreciate you taking the time to show us everything we possibly could have. So thank you very much.
Thank
it was really
Brad.
Great.
It's been a pleasure having you guys on board, and we really hope to sail with you guys again soon.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next trip I want to promote is called Fly the Drake, and this is a new concept that Silver Sea has come out with. I like this very much for those that might be limited on time or have a concern about sailing 2 days down and 2 days back across the Drake Passage from Ushuaia. So if you're interested in Antarctica and you really want to go there, but maybe getting there might cause some anxiety or you don't have the time, this is a wonderful option. The risks are pretty big, though. You know, there's this island called King George Island, and it has a runway that can land a short, it's called a stall aircraft, STOL, a short takeoff and landing on the King George Island. And this aircraft was built in the UK. It's a British Aerospace 146 aircraft that was designed for short runways, and it's a very hardy plane. And Silver Sea is going to be chartering this aircraft out of the city of Punta Arenas, Chile. So you would spend the night in Punta Arenas. The next day, you would take a 2-hour flight on this aircraft that carries 95 passengers, but they're only going to carry 70. And what they've done is chartered 2 aircraft that are 70 passengers each and removed one of the center seats on board. So it's a 2x3 configuration, 2 on the left, 3 on the right, and the center seat is taking out, which I think is great for Silver Sea to do that. And the ship is going to be called Silver Explorer. She's a 144 passenger expedition vessel that Silver Sea owns. It has 14 Zodiacs. It's an ice class built vessel, so it can travel through the ice into some very interesting places, which I think is great. But it's going to spend 6 nights exploring the Antarctic Peninsula, which I think is wonderful. So you'll have the opportunity to ride in Zodiacs, go ashore, hike. There will be kayaks available. What's going to be a little bit different, though, is this ship does not have a photo lab on board, like the Cloud does, and it doesn't have as many choices for dining. It does have 2 choices for dining, which is fine. The rooms are a little bit different in size, too. It's not going to have such large suites like the Cloud would have. So when we compare itineraries and we compare what you'd like to do working together, I'll be sure and explain what the differences are. But what I like about this is if you're limited on time, you can spend the night in Punta Arenas, take the charter plane down, have 6 nights in the peninsula, take the charter plane back and spend the night, and then come home to the U.S. Or wherever you're on, or you can, you know, custom tailor other places in Patagonia. So it's a wonderful new option. It's seasonal. The risks are the weather. So King George Island sometimes has very high winds. You might be in Punta Arenas and the weather would be fine, but down on King George Island, the weather might not be fine. So you might have a delay. And, you know, when you have 144 guests coming off of an expedition vessel, there's nowhere to go on King George Island. So we need to make sure that the planes can get in. You can unload everybody. You can load everybody and off you go. So there's a big risk in traveling this way, but that's what expedition travel is. And, you know, I think these guys are the experts. They obviously wouldn't be taking these trips to this level. And I know there are a few other operators that do this same exact itinerary in Antarctica, and they've done it for years. However, they don't have the luxury that Silver Sea has. They don't have the staff that Silver Sea has. The ships are not as nice as the Silver Explorer, which will be sailing down there. So to keep the consistency, I think it's going to be great having our luxury adventure partner, Silver Sea Expeditions, do this trip. So this new Fly the Drake Passage option is going to become available starting December of 2021 and through this spring, January, February of 2022. I'd like to tell you more about it. I want you to get on my list. Please make sure you friend me on Facebook. I'm also on Instagram. It's Ralph_Iantosca1 or Iantosca Travel on Facebook. Call me, send me an email. I'd love to tell you more. So if Antarctica is not on your list, please put it on your list. And I look forward to telling you more. Thank you.